Good morning. This is happening, isn't it? This is legit real stuff. We are here in Haven doing church. It's exciting, isn't it? We will normally have one of those fancy head mics that we've got, but I foolishly left mine at home. And so it's either this or the Britney mic, which is a big black thing where I look like Britney Spears, which I'm not keen on. So I'm going to use this one. This is an exciting day, isn't it? It's an exciting day? Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, I woke up kind of, I don't know, my head all over the place. Super, like butterflies in my stomach. Just so excited about this morning. It's been a lot of work getting here, isn't it? And a lot of us have been living with this dream for a long time. So praise God for getting us here this morning. I think most of you know my name is Joe. As David says, I'm part of the eldership team here at Grace Church across our four sites, which is the first time I've ever said that, which is cool. I am just so excited about all that God is doing in Haven as a church. I can't wait to see what God is going to do over the coming weeks and the coming months. I can't wait to new people and to meet new people and to get to know them. I can't wait to build relationships that we've got already. These prophetic words that we've been hearing, I cannot wait to see them come true, to come to light. I mean, the fruit of these words excite me so much. To see lives changed, people baptized, to see this community grow and do things as a church that we'll be able to do things in Haven that we couldn't do before because of what we're doing. And I am really excited, but for all that is true, let me also say this. It's been quite a lot of work to get to this point, hasn't it? I don't know if anyone else has noticed that. I reckon if you tally it up, I personally have lost probably about 3 weeks' worth of sleep over the last 6 months or so. And I've got two young kids, so I don't need any help with losing sleep. It's been good, but it's tough, isn't it? And this is only day one this morning. It's by no means the end. It's not even really the end of the beginning, is it? This is the beginning of the beginning. So the question, I suppose, that I want to talk about this morning is a bit like, why bother? Why all this effort? Why are we doing Grace Church Haven't? Is it worth all the effort and money and energy and heart that we need to put into it just to get to this point? Why are we here? What are we aiming at as a church, as a site? So as a site in Haven, we're going to be taking a break from our series that we've been preaching through, our Meaningless series. You've been enjoying that series? It's great, isn't it? I do catch up. This week there is all the other sites are still going through it, so catch up that one that we'll be talking about. But this morning I want to talk about this, really. What are we doing in Haven't? What are we aiming at? As ever, as David says, I'm going to be preaching from the Bible. So if you have got one, then do turn into it. If you haven't, then stick your hand up and God will bring one to you. They're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, so feel free to turn there now towards the kind of back end of the New Testament, 1 Timothy. Going to be looking at verses 14 to 16 and what they say about what the church is and why that has led us to do what we are doing this morning. So let me grab 1 Timothy 3, 14 to 16 says this. Although I hope to come to you as soon as I am, to come to you soon, I am writing to you with these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. So what's going on here is that the Apostle Paul has been writing this letter to Timothy, who's kind of his like protege and a really good mate of his, and he's been explaining why some of the ways in which the local church should look and work and how it should just function. And then having done that, he says here why he's doing that. He wants to come and be with Timothy. He's in a place, leading a church in a place called Ephesus, which is the book Ephesians is written to. And he writes this stuff down in advance in case he doesn't make it. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't manage to get there or if he's delayed. I mean, it's also helpful for us to have it, isn't it? Written down, God's sovereignty. And it's that verse 15, that kind of middle verse that we're really going to be focusing in on today, where Paul mentions three different ways of describing what the church is. He refers to the church as three things in verse 15. I know many of us are kind of more visual learners, so I had a little bit of fun, and I did some simple graphics for each one of us today as well. So he talks about the church as God's household, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and foundation of the truth. I'm aware, by the way, that God is not just a big person in the middle, but it helps to illustrate the point. And it gets the picture across, as it were. Those pictures, they sum up pretty nicely what we are going for here in heaven, what we're about, what we're going for. What does it all mean? What do these pictures and phrases mean? They kind of run the risk of sounding a little bit jargony if we don't unpack them. So that's what I'm going to do. And I want to just, off the bat, really summarize what this is saying, to call it, this is the family of God with God showing off God. The family of God with God showing off God. And again, I'll unpack all this as we go through. We're going to work through these, see what they really mean, how we can summarize them like that, how we as Grace Church in heaven are going to be those things. Of course, Paul in this passage is really talking about the universal global church here that we are part of. But what does it mean for us as part of that universal church? I just want to pray before going any further. So will you pray with me as I pray? Yeah, Father, again, we just give it all to you, what we're doing here. Thank you that you are with us. Lord, I pray that you would excite us for what we are doing, that you would give us just such a passion and excitement for what you are going to do in heaven, and also that you would equip us, Lord God, that we would not be ill-equipped, but we will be fully equipped and ready to do all that you've called us to do. Thank you, God, that you will equip us. I pray, Lord, meet with us. Come in your power now as we hear your word preached. Lord, would you come and minister to us and change our lives and change heaven, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Amen. So what are we doing here? Why are we doing all this stuff, this site in heaven? Firstly, we're God's household. Household's not really a word we use, is it? I don't know. I don't really use it in English these days. In this passage, in the original language, it can either be translated to mean house, as in, you know, the building, or the household, so the family that live in the building. Just from the context, it's pretty clear that Paul is talking about the family here. He's already used this word three other times in this passage to refer to that. He's talking about the family. He's saying here that this church is a family. It's the family of God, God's household. So here's just three things that can mean for us today as we launch our Haven site. I'm sure there's more, but here's three. Firstly, it means that as Christians, we have been brought in as children of the Almighty God. So we have the privilege of calling God our Father. Paul doesn't elaborate on this much in this passage, but he does elsewhere. He says in Romans 8:14-15, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." So he's saying we consider all the difficulties that life throws at us, and we remind ourselves, no, I don't need to be in fear because I'm not a slave. Rather, the Spirit has made me a child of God. It's kind of like, it's a little bit like having the Hulk as our dad, really. If my dad was the Hulk, it would take a lot to scare me. It would be serious street cred on the playground, wouldn't it? No one's going to mess with me because my dad is the Hulk. There's a massive green monster thing that is stronger than anything you can throw at me. And being on the front line for God can be a bit scary, can't it? It can be a bit intimidating what we're doing. We're putting ourselves out there. We're trying to start a new site in Havant. But there's over like 100,000 people in Havant. There's a lot to be done. We're sure to face opposition from people at some point. Some people just shun you as soon as you mention church or Jesus. And as a community, again, those of us who've been living with this, certainly feels like we have already faced some opposition in the spiritual realms, doesn't it? It's been kind of a tricky few months in a lot of ways. Lots of things for us to be working through. But we don't need to live in fear because we are the children of God. God is bigger and stronger than the Hulk. And I mean, that's probably where the comparisons end. I think God is not so much as, I don't know, as the Hulk is. But if God is for us, who can be against us? And actually, just this morning, I was reading, just spending a little bit of time reading the Bible, and God highlighted something to me. I just happened to be reading the passage where Jesus is saying, don't worry, you don't need to worry. And then it kind of ends by saying in Luke 12, it is 32, and Jesus says, don't be afraid, little flock, for the kingdom of God is coming. Kingdom of God is coming. And it just reassured to me, oh yeah, yeah, don't, you know, we're just a little flock really, aren't we? But we're just kind of going with it. But I don't need to worry. We don't need to, what's the worst could happen? Let's just enjoy the ride, I felt God say. And just, it was a real blessing. And that's for us all, I think, as well. If being the family of God means that we all share the same Father, it also means that we are brothers and sisters. We're on the same team. We are for one another. And as brothers and sisters, we love and support and pray for one another. Those of us who have been thinking about this site for a while now, this is certainly something we've been doing together, isn't it? Over the last year or 18 months or so, it's been a privilege, I think, to do that, hasn't it? And it's been an adventure already. As we take this step today and become a fully fledged site in Haven, that means that as we do that, we're visible and active in this community in the way that we couldn't be before. And as we do that, you know, this family relationship, it doesn't come to an end. It isn't like, come on, suck it up now. We're about the real business. There's no more. We can't think about ourselves. No, we need to crack on about the lost in Haven. No, that's not that. We still love and support and pray for one another. We're a relatively mixed up bunch, I think. We've all got different backgrounds, different lives. We've all got different stories to tell. It might be that being here today is your kind of first real input to us as a site. It might be that you've been living with this for a long time. We're a mixed up bunch, but we're brothers and sisters. Paul, you're my bro. And, you know, and Mel's my sis. We're brothers and sisters. We're on this together. We're not one small family. We're part of the wider Grace Church family, aren't we? And probably more importantly, we're part of the wider universal church. But we're a family that are part of one another's lives, and we're on an adventure together. So not only has God, who is bigger and better than the Hulk, got our backs, but we've certainly got one another's backs as well. We are growing in our relationship to one another. As we go on this journey, our experiences will bind us together even more than they already have. And that's just so exciting. I love it. It's not like we're starting the proper stuff today. It's not like, come on, this is, suck it up now. No, no, no. We still support one another. We continue to serve each other, bear one another's burdens, and pray through our difficulties together. And then thirdly, being part of the family of God means that we're a good-looking family. I don't mean that we're all hotties, because not all of us can we? But what I mean is that being the family of God makes us an attractive and appealing thing. God designed his church the way he designed it very deliberately. There's any number of clubs that you can go and join in Haven. I did a little search online. There's a camera club, a hockey club, an ex-serviceman club, a variety of men's clubs, a women's institute. There's archery, business over breakfast, rotary. There's loads of clubs. And people join clubs and unite together over a shared interest or a value, and they naturally develop some kind of community amongst themselves, and that community is appealing to everyone. But there's nothing that's quite like the family of God. Nothing is like the community that we have, being children of God, being brothers and sisters that love and support and pray for one another. It's totally unique, and it's uniquely attractive and good-looking. Nowhere else do people cook meals for one another when one of their rank is going through something difficult or demanding. Nowhere else do people carry one another's burdens and struggles and rejoice with one another's victories like we do. As we start to spread the word that we are now here in a local church community in Haven, if people can see us and understand something of the community and family that we are and that we have, that will speak for itself. And people will just be attracted to us. This is something that has really
quite a lot been prophesied over us as a group. There's a number of times in different ways this has been coming through, that one person prophesied that would be like people will walk past and there'll be a sweet aroma, will be like a sweet smelling thing that would just be attractive and people will be drawn into us. And then on Thursday at the prayer meeting, as we met, Judith was saying we'll be like a magnet and people will kind of be drawn into us. We've had other words that will be a sweet smelling and appealing thing. And that's exciting, isn't it? I find that really exciting. And it just affirms what God is. There's other clubs, other communities out there. They've got their benefits. They can be slightly attractive, but there's nothing quite so good looking as the church. We're the family of God. And then similarly, prophetically, David shared last week in Chichester how he felt God speak to him in this kind of vein as well. God said two things to David. Firstly, David felt that God said that we as a site will have an impact on and be a blessing to the marginalized and the minorities in the Havant community. And again, that kind of coming through with Isaiah 61, as Laurie was sharing that. And we have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor and set the captives free. Again, he felt God say that as this happens, we will be an inherently and naturally attractive thing and good looking to behold. Other people of all backgrounds will see the impact we are having and will see it as a good looking thing. And secondly, God said that we as a group today, kind of a founding group, if you like, should be looking to the day when we, as the originals, will be in the minority. And again, it links to what David was saying earlier, that we need to have faith to see the eyes of what this will one day be. Man, that's exciting. Others will come in and be added to us, and the majority of the people who will be part of this family will be people who have come in from today onwards. Kind of like we're the first generation of this family. The next generation is going to be a lot bigger in number, and they are on the way to being a part of us. I don't know about you. I find those two things hugely exciting. God, I just got to bring in the minorities to us that we may bless them and serve them, and then make us a minority, Lord, as we see this family grow. It's my prayer. So we're God's household. God is our Father. We're brothers and sisters. We're seriously good looking. The family of God. The next thing, second picture, is that we're the church of the living God. I summarize this by saying it means that we are with God. We're the people of God with God. You know the word for church in the Bible, ecclesia, it is. It just means assembly. It just means a group of people. So we as the church are the group of people of the living God. Hence kind of the assembly, of the group of people in the picture. The first thing to emphasize here is that Paul is talking about, and we are the church of the living God. So it's not this. It's not we're all gathered around a dead God. We're not an assembly of people gathered around a dead idol. No, it's the church of the living God. Our God is alive. And in the Old Testament, in the Bible, the God of Israel is regularly referred to as the living God. It's in deliberate contrast to the lifeless idols of other nations. It's not quite as obvious in our day, is it? In that very few people in our culture are literally bowing down before kind of man-made idols and calling them God. People aren't making physical idol gods in our culture, but they're certainly worshipping and figuratively bowing down to idols. People in our culture, in Havant, in 2018, they're worshipping money and doing anything they can do to get more of it. Or they're worshipping sex or power or their careers or the newness of their cars or being a hottie or being popular. But as Christians, as an assembly of Christians, we are the only people not worshipping something dead. Or at least something that has no ability to fulfill us and give us meaning. We have turned away from worshipping these things, and dead and meaningless things, and we worship the true and the living God. Secondly, this phrase means that this living God is with his church. The Bible says that Christians, the people, the church, is the temple of the living God. The church is the temple. 2 Corinthians 16 says this, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Paul says in Ephesians that we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Do you know, God has always been with Grace Church in Chichester. He's always been with us in Bognor Regis. He has always been with us in Midhurst. And he is with us in Havant and always will be. I mean, who else takes great comfort and also great excitement from the fact that God is with us as a church? Man, it changes everything. God is with us. There's a good little story in the Old Testament where Moses, who's basically the leader of God's people, he's talking to God. And God is telling Moses to take his people into the promised land. He's telling Moses and the people to go into the promised land, just like he's telling us to go into heaven. It says in Exodus 33, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." God says, "I am with you." And Moses replies by saying, "Well, you flippin' better be, or we're not going anywhere." For us in Havant today, it's just been so clear that God has told us to do this. Just like it was clear that God told Moses to go into the promised land, it's been so clear that God has called us to launch this site in Havant. And we've got a really, really great bunch of people in our ranks, haven't we? There's a lot of gifting and potential in this room and in the next room where the kids are. There's a lot of potential. We're mightily blessed by that. But there's not one person in this building to whom anyone is saying, "Well, if you're not coming with us, then we're not going." It doesn't hinge on any one of us. It certainly doesn't hinge on me. I mean, I'll be here the vast majority of the time to do what I can. And okay, it might be slightly delayed and there may be some difference in the logistics if I wasn't around. But it certainly would not stop it happening. Moses never made it into the promised land, actually, but Israel did. They didn't need Moses, they needed God. This doesn't hinge on me or anyone else, this just needs God. Believe me, it really doesn't hinge on me. It really needs God. This site is built on God and his presence with us. We're saying to God, "If you ain't with us, we ain't going. But we are here because he is with us." God's presence with us changes everything. It means that as we sing songs together, as we lift up the name of Jesus, the presence of God himself is in the room and moving among us. We may not have drums and a full band like we may be used to in Chichester, but it doesn't change the presence of God. We can still meet with God, and we may have to get used to that. And maybe it's going to be a bit different, isn't it? It all feels a bit different, but it doesn't change anything. God is with us. As we hear God's word preached every week, we can count on God to minister to people and speak to people and to transform lives, both our lives and also those who come in and join us. As our kids meet in the kids groups, it means they can meet with God. They can have their futures defined by the encounters they have with the living God. As we have tea and coffee, chat together, everything we do, God is with us and working through us. God's presence with us changes everything. And thirdly, this phrase means that God is what makes us us. Sometimes we can live and function like what makes us us is something other than God himself. Like the main thing that we have to offer and the only thing that can work through us is a message that we need to communicate to people, or a way to be, or a way of life to live. We do certainly have a uniquely good message to proclaim, but that isn't really what makes us us. Paul doesn't call the church, he doesn't call us the church of the good news, the church of the gospel. We aren't a bunch of people just trying really hard on our own to tell other people about the gospel. The Bible doesn't say that we're a church of morality, the church of making good and wise choices. We're not just a bunch of sensible people with a sensible way of life to come and tell people in heaven about, come and live this way and it'll be really good for you. We're a family together, and we've got the presence of God with us. The Bible doesn't call us the church of kindness and grace even. We don't just spend time being kind to people as an end in itself. Even the wonderful and amazing message of grace that we have is not what makes us us and defines us. We're not called the church of gifted people. We're not called the church of the Bible even. Certainly they're all incredible things, and things that no one but the church has. But that's not what makes the church the church. No, we are the church of the living God. the God who rose from the grave, the God who is alive and active today. This is what makes us who we are. And that is really the thing to be emphasized over everything else. And lastly, this phrase means that God is working through us, which we've touched on. It's here and in us that God has chosen to make his home and place of residence. We are the church of the living God with God. The Holy Spirit is here right now and is always where we are. He's alive and active. That means there are things that are not possible for anyone to do that are possible for us to do, because God can transcend what is naturally possible in this world. So as we launch this site together, we can say, well, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. No one else can say that. Only Christians and members of God's church can say that. We can say, with man, this is impossible. People who do not have God cannot do this. But with God, all things are possible. We can do this because God is with us. We can pray for and we can see miracles together as a sight. We can see people dead in sin be brought to life in Jesus. We can see the sick healed. We can see the blind receive sight, the depressed made joyful, the brokenhearted restored, lives transformed. We can see the kingdom of God come because God is with us. I pray we do. I believe we're going to see miracles in our ranks. God, do bring your kingdom. These things are only true because of the resurrection, because God is alive, because God is the living God, and he is with us. We are the church of the living God. We are with God. Praise God that we are with him and he is with us and we're not alone. God is working in us and through us, and we can expect great things from God. The third thing that Paul describes the church as, and that helps us to understand why we're here, why we're doing this, is that he calls the church the pillar and foundation of the truth. It's probably a little bit less obvious what this is referring to here than it was for the others. I summarize this by saying that it is showing off God, which may sound a little bit a strange way of putting it, but let me explain. So with the family of God, with God, showing off God, both the other images, God's household and the church of the living God, they're really referring to what we do with one another and how we kind of interact with one another in one another's company. But this image is really referring to our mandate and our duty to proclaim the good news about God to everyone else, everyone in heaven who is not meeting with God this morning. So let's think about it for a second. What is the job of a foundation? It's like the mainstay of a building, isn't it? It supports and stabilizes a building. And what do pillars do? They hold something up, don't they? The roof or whatever it is. The job of both pillars and foundations is to hold something up and generally to show it off. Certainly in the context that Paul was writing into, pillars were by no means, you know, the glorious thing themselves, but they would hold up something that was glorious. So this is a picture of a temple that Paul and his readers would have been very aware of. This is the temple of Artemis in Ephesus, which is where he's writing to. It was once regarded one of the seven wonders of the world. I mean, the picture doesn't really do it justice, does it? It had 100 pillars. Each pillar was over 18 meters high. But the real glory and the wonder was what the pillars were holding up, which was a massive, shining roof made of super expensive and flashy marble. As the foundation of this temple and the pillars in this temple hold up and show off this spectacular marble roof, so the church is called to hold up and show off the truth about God. The roof is the truth, which is not easy to say, but it's quite fun. Do you want to try it? The roof is the truth? Some say? The roof is the truth. The roof is the truth. I mean, go home later and keep saying it over in your head and see how you get on. The roof is the truth. It's not easy to say. What or who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As pillars hold up a roof, we are to hold up Jesus to the world. And this is what we are doing here in Havant. This is why we are here. It's why we as Grace Church have invested all the effort we have invested into all of this, because we want to fulfill this calling and this mandate to hold up and display and show off the truth and wonder of Jesus Christ for everyone in here in heaven to see. That marble roof on the Temple of Artemis, it would have been, I mean, an incredible sight to behold, something nothing like any of us have probably ever seen. Just imagine a slate of marble that big, that vast, which the Middle Eastern sun shone off and reflected. It would have been incredible and blinding to look at, and just really majestic. It would have been incredible. And this Jesus we are holding up is like something most people in heaven have never seen. His glory is matchless. He's the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace. He's the light of the world, shining brighter than any marble roof could ever shine. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the only righteous one. He is the one who died on a cross for you and for me and for everyone else here in heaven. It's Jesus we are here to display, and he is well worth showing off. I don't want to come across as, you know, cocky or proud or cold and unwelcoming by using this phrase, showing off God. I thought about just saying something like displaying God, because the pillars display the thing they're holding up, but I think that really misses something of what pillars do, and certainly what the pillars in the Temple of Artemis were doing. They don't just hold up the roof kind of for anyone to see, anyone to look at if they're interested. They're gladly and unashamedly showing off the roof for everyone to see. We're not here to just display Jesus to anyone who is interested. Of course, we are going to do that, but we are here to hold up and unashamedly show Jesus off so that as many people see him as possibly can. The second thing from this picture is that Jesus is the hope for all to see. We don't want Jesus to be our best kept secret at Grace Church, do we? He's the hope of heaven. And as Grace Church as well, Grace Church in heaven, we don't want to be heaven's best kept secret. We want people to know we are here. So here's some background. As we probably know, Grace Church is a multi-church site. As of today, we are meeting in 4 locations every Sunday. In Chichester, we've been meeting for about 12 years now. We became multi-site when we launched our second site in Bognor 5 years ago this March. Was it yesterday? 5 years ago yesterday, we launched Bognor Regis and became a multi-site church. We launched our Midhurst site 3 years ago this March, and we're launching our Havant site today this March. I don't know what it is about March. It just seems to have happened that way. We're one church with one eldership, one vision, one budget in 4 locations. And ultimately, we're a multi-site church because God has called us to be, both prophetically and circumstantially, just by the way that we've always been. It's been so clear that God has worked us in that direction. But the greatest benefit of being a multi-church site is that it is the best way for us to be visible in multiple communities. More people see us this way. We have a greater impact. And as we, as the church, the pillar of the truth, holding up Jesus and showing off Jesus, the reason it is good for us to be visible and for us to be noticeable in our communities in heaven is because we're showing off Jesus. The roof we are holding up, Jesus, is for everyone to see. We as a community and as a church, we want to have the greatest impact that we can possibly have here in heaven. It's not for our own glory, is it? We don't want people to just look at us and think, wow, they're amazing. We want people to look at us and see Jesus. He is the hope for heaven. He's the hope for your neighbor. He's the hope for your colleague. He's the hope for the person you see walking their dog every morning. He's the hope for the lady I buy my train tickets off every morning at Havant train station. Jesus is the hope for heaven. Today is an exciting day. Not just for us in this room, but for heaven. Because we are going to make Jesus more visible to them. You know, this is a hugely significant day for Havant. In fact, 2018 is a hugely significant year for Havant because of what is happening today. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. If there was a local newspaper in Havant which presented the local news from the perspective of heaven, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? This would be the front page story and the main article for weeks to come. Huge day for heaven. New local church in heaven, holding up Jesus for more people to see. Great faith in action as the people of God mobilized into a new site in heaven. I'm not saying we're anything special. We're not. We're just the pillar. But I am saying that what we are doing is significant, not because of us, but because we are holding up Jesus for more people in heaven to see. And Jesus is the hope for heaven. There are people who we know and who are already part of our lives for whom today is the start of the most significant and amazing thing that is ever going to happen to them. People will be saved and people will be brought into the kingdom of God because of what has started today. Many of us know people who have been kind of remotely interested in coming to church, but church has just been that kind of too much of a bridge for them to gap. And now we're in heaven, it's going to be a different story. It's kind of like we have brought Jesus to them. Obviously, Jesus was already here, but we together are a new pillar and foundation that is holding up and showing off Jesus to people who weren't able to see him in that way before. And God has spoken some hugely exciting words over us, like the ones I've already shared. I'm so excited for the day that we are the minority because God has grown us and added to us. God do it. That is our prayer, isn't it? That God would grow us, not for our own glory, but so that people would see Jesus and how good he is. God, would you take us in that direction speedily, we pray. So why are we here? Why all the effort? What are we doing? We're God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. We're the family of God, with God, showing off God in heaven. By no means do we cease to be a family together today, but we continue to pray for and support one another in every way we can. We have the presence of God in our midst, which changes everything, and we're here to hold up Jesus to people in our community, to tell them how he is their hope, how he loves them, how he is the best thing that they could ever, the best thing they could ever do is to enter into a relationship with him. It's all about him. It's all about holding him up for all to see. Can we all stand together as we look to respond? If the worship guys could come up, that'd be great. In talking about being the pillar and foundation of the truth, showing off Jesus, we've been talking about together, us, as a community being a pillar. And that's what this passage in 1 Timothy is referring to. But the way that is worked out for us is for us all to be little individual pillars as we go about our lives. And that's my prayer for my life, that God would make me a pillar. Why? Because when people look at me and get to know me, what do I want them to see? I don't want them to be drawn to me and what I can offer them, but I want them to immediately look up and see what I am holding up and showing off. I want them as soon as possible to see Jesus in all his beauty and love, for them to be drawn to a life of worshipping Jesus. And this is the kind of life that God is calling all his people to. And certainly if we want to see Jesus' name made great in heaven and in Emsworth and in all these surrounding areas, that is what we are going to need to be doing. In a moment, we're going to take communion together as we once again remember and remind ourselves that it is all about Jesus. He is the hope for our lives. He's the hope for heaven and nothing else. Just before we take communion, I'd just like to pray over us that Jesus would do in all of us what I've just described, that we'd become little pillars that just point immediately to what we're holding up, so that we can move forward from this day with more and more obviously functioning in that way. Will you pray with me? Will you just close your eyes if it helps you to focus on God? Open yourself up to being touched by God, to being filled up, to be sent out. Let me pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that we do have the greatest message. We have the good message. We have the good news that Jesus loves us and hasn't just left us to it, but has died for us. Father, I pray, would you send your Spirit to us right now? As individuals, would you fill us up and send us out, Lord? Fill us up so that we would be more excited about you. Would we radiate your Son more obviously, Father? Would we just shine Jesus? Father, would you send your Spirit on us so that when people look at us, that is who they see. Not us, but they see your Spirit. They see your Son. And they are immediately thinking, man, that is what I want. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I pray, fill us to overflowing, Father, so that we have too much that we can take and that it overflows to other people. Lord God, I do pray, Lord, would this be a huge day for multiple people, Lord God, because of what you are doing in us as a rank today and as a community. I pray, fill us up and send us out for your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion and just put Jesus front and center of all that we're doing once again. He's paid the greatest price, Jesus, that could ever be paid by dying on a cross. He had his body broken for us and his blood is spilled so that we could enter into a life and relationship with him. We're going to sing together. We're going to lift up his name as we do this. It's going to be kind of similar to those ministries. Bread's going to come round in a basket. And then once you've received it and you're ready, kind of there's non-alcoholic wine at the back too. So go out your seats and go grab that. If you need gluten-free bread, then you can just, that's at the back. So feel free to get out your seat when you feel comfortable doing that. We're going to worship by singing and by taking communion together as a family. Let's worship.
Let's respond by singing worthy of every song we can ever sing.